Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
So today for Goals Question Time, I've got the pleasure of being joined by Ben Letterlich, who is Head of FinTech Ventures at TD Bank. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
No, very good to be speaking to you again, Ben. If you can give us a brief introduction to yourself, please, to start.
Yeah, absolutely. So I began my career as a management consultant at Bain & Company, and I actually worked primarily in the technology, media, and telecom space. But after Bain, I founded my own technology startup and really fell in love with startup culture. I ultimately had to put that startup aside when I began and got married and started my family. But luckily, an old colleague reached out to me, and they were starting a new corporate venture arm at TD Bank here in Toronto. And it's great because my role at TD Ventures really bridges my startup and consulting path together, as really a lot of the time I spend internally is working with the business, which is very similar to the consulting side, but also work very closely with startups and help guide the portfolio companies through the bank's inner workings and making sure they're engaging with all the right people.
Oh, great. Okay, so a good external perspective rather than just coming from the corporate one. Good. So can you describe a bit about TD Bank, please, and your role of your unit?
So the TD Bank Group is a top 10 bank in North America. So we're based in Toronto, and we have a very, in Canada, we have a very dominant market position in Canada, but also a very strong presence in the U.S. Northeast. Like all banks, TD is currently undergoing a digital transformation. So our team is part of the bank's Innovation Center of Excellence, which is a newly created group. So we're specifically tasked with evaluating opportunities between the fintech world and the rest of the bank.
Great. And so could you give us a bit of introduction then to the fund or the approach that you take to venturing?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bit unique. So we have a dedicated fund, which is on TD's balance sheet. And honestly, we're one of the most strategically oriented funds that I've come across, as all of our investments need to be championed by the business. So every investment we make needs to have a clear path towards commercialization within the bank. So we actually started off as a business unit within the retail bank. This is before we got moved to that central innovation role. But we recently got reorged under the group head for owns all the channels, technology, marketing, public affairs, and also central innovation as well.
Good.
In terms of the types of investments we make, we initially use the fund to solidify existing strategic relationships. So there's a few public ones like TD, MySpend. But now we're using the fund to make new relationships happen within the bank and act as a catalyst for new commercial partnerships.
Good. Okay, so I think it's an interesting point there, as other organizations have, is whether you're being tactical for the current business or whether you're looking into the future. And so you've talked about there being strategic with the organization. Can you give us some insights in how you engage with the business units then to identify the tech and the startup investment?
Yeah, so this is again where I think we're a little bit unique, because we work very closely with the business before we even start looking at the startup market. So we'll sit down with the business and, very much like a consultant, ask them a bunch of questions about what is their biggest strategic priority. And once we've defined that strategic priority, luckily in the fintech market, there's no shortage of startups. So we can find that strategic priority and look out into the market. We might even look at about 30 plus startups that address that exact problem the business is trying to solve. And we get on the call with the business, with the startup, and we really help guide them all the way through the investment. We help them with the commercial contract, and then finally implementation within the bank, because often if you're a small startup working with a big bank, both sides need a little bit of hand-holding along the way. So it's a very long process, but I think it creates some value, which is great. And we've really proven the model a few times. So now the business units come to us, whereas originally we had to identify groups that were willing to work with us.
Right. And could you give us some insights into some of the key technologies and new business models that you're seeing opportunities and threats with?
Yeah, this has been pretty interesting for me because, over the 2 years I've been in this role, the narrative around fintech has really changed. It was initially viewed as a disruptive threat to the bank, but now it's more about how can we partner with fintechs to improve our customers' lives. So it's really interesting how that's changed, and sometimes even the exact startup that we were in contact a year ago is now like, how can we work together rather than I don't want to work with a bank. So it's quite interesting. And then beyond fintech, we're actually spending a lot of energy now looking at artificial intelligence. Really across the bank, a lot of people are excited about that area. So we've mostly been thinking about this is how can we use AI to augment human intelligence and improve back-end automation rather than replacing humans. It's more about how can we do what we already do but more effectively and really empower the people that we already have, which really ultimately improves our customer experience.
Yeah, I'm certainly seeing that in lots of other industries are going to be impacted by these different technologies and different business models, and how's it going to affect your business. And so you've touched on, the business units and that, and people are so central to, corporate venturing and innovation. Can you explain sort of the experience and skills of the members of the team and how that's changed? You described yourself, the broader team.
Yeah, so I mean, our team operates out of the bank's head office in Toronto. We all have business backgrounds, and we're more of a generalist from outside of banking, but we all have very keen interest in technology, and we'll pretty fanatically keep up with the latest news. But we are now looking for people, as we expand what we do, with maybe a little bit more deep technical knowledge and maybe legal expertise to supplement our business background.
Great. And can you describe how you sort of support the ventures that you invest in?
Yeah, so I mean, as I mentioned up front, like these investments take a very long time from start to finish. So we play a major role in just making sure our portfolio companies are actually commercialized as it was originally intended when we made the investment. So over time, we do let the business who championed the investment manage that relationship. But we often tell our portfolio companies that we're kind of like their internal business development team, so we can always keep tabs on how things are going and really be that good partner to that startup.
Okay, and a lot of corporate venture units, the decision of whether you sit on the boards or not, what's the situation with TD Bank and the investments and sitting on boards?
Yeah, this is where banks are a bit unique because we have a lot of regulatory constraints that maybe other corporate venture groups don't have. So for regulatory reasons, we only ever take a very small minority equity position. And given that small equity position, it doesn't usually make sense to have an official board seat. So we've mostly held off, but we will sometimes take a board observer seat.
Okay, great. So you've talked about some of the technology, you've talked about some of the business models, and I believe organizations now, as we've talked about on programs that you've done with me and your colleagues, that we need to start connecting technologies and connecting startups with the corporate capabilities. And you talked there about, fintech not being a disruptor, but maybe being a partner. And I think it's what I term now innovative new value chain, so connecting startups, connecting technology. Have you got some examples that you've seen within your sector for these?
Yeah, it's a great question. And honestly, the more you do this job, the more these opportunities come up. So it's been really interesting to see that since I took your course a little over a year ago, because we keep track of all the startups that we meet in our internal CRM, and we'll do our best try to connect the dots, not only just with companies within our own portfolio, but for companies that just sit within that CRM. So I'll give you an example. We recently connected two startups who manage different ends of the digital mortgage value chain. And digital mortgages is a very hot topic these days. The one had a strong digital front-end application, so think like an online mortgage application. It's very responsive and it changes based on what the person inputs. They also have a very large and successful sales team. But the other startup that we were working with had very deep technical capabilities, and especially with underwriting. So you combine that digital front end with a more sophisticated underwriting methodology, makes for a pretty compelling end-to-end solution for banks. So that's just one example of the types of connections we try to make.
Yeah, and that's a good example. I certainly see it. And I guess in your industry, it's about, you know, assets and balance sheets, and some of these startups maybe haven't got the financial background that you've got. But when we see it in the real world, in inverted commas, with things like transport, health, customer service, and retail, when you need a physical presence as well, that's where the, you know, the incumbents, the current corporates, can see how they connect different technologies and different business models to create a better outcome. And that really is what I'm seeing more generally in other places as well. So how do you measure your financial and sort of strategic performance?
Yeah, so as I mentioned up front, we are definitely more strategically oriented than most funds. So we're not 100%, like, we're not really evaluated as much on our financial performance, but we do track our returns to date, and we've been actually very happy with the returns. So, I mean, if you provide strategic value, often it actually does provide financial value as well. But strategically, we primarily just look at the value of the business cases when our portfolio companies are commercialized. And, you know, given the size and scale of our bank, I mean, these will dwarf any sort of financial returns anyway. So that's kind of one, that's the major way we look at it, to say, you know, if this startup really was the key in this very successful business case, then that looks good on us. But, you know, we also just look at the number of deals, but also, you know, how much across the bank we work. So how many lines of business have we worked with? And then we also just try to do some internal speaking events as much as we can to spread the word, because, you know, we want to work with as many people as possible in the bank.
Yeah. And I think that spreading the word and sort of giving the strategic insight is so important to get that external perspective, which you can bring as an individual and bring as a team. So that's good. So you talk, great, excellent overview of why you're doing it, what's your purpose and the people aspects. Could you illustrate, give us a couple of examples of some recent investments that you've done?
Yeah, so the most recent investments aren't public knowledge yet, just because there's, you know, I mentioned up front, there's a long lead time on this stuff. But the first investment we made, which is public knowledge, is in a company called SecureKey. So all the major banks in Canada came together to build a digital identity consortium. And we actually leveraged some pretty cool technology in blockchain to make that happen. But I'll do my best to explain how it works. So basically, all banks collect customer data as part of a regulatory process called Know Your Customer, or as banks call it, KYC.
Yep.
And the Canadian banks are fortunate. You know, there's only really five big banks in Canada, and they control most of the market. And they are pretty fortunate to have a position of trust with the Canadian population. And the idea is, we collect all this data. We have the trust of our customers. So with the customer's permission, could we release some of that data when the customer is using some sort of third-party service online? So an example that I like to give, which resonates for a lot of people, is, you know, we're working with SecureKey and the Canada Revenue Agency, the people you pay your taxes to. And instead of creating a new account with the CRA, you can actually log in using your online bank credentials. And then with one click of the button, you can actually automatically fill in your tax return. So, you know, this is kind of, imagine like what you use Facebook or Google login for, and you can use that only for non-sensitive transactions. But for the more sensitive transactions that might involve credit checks, maybe you're renting a new apartment, or, you know, you're buying a house, all these kinds of things, maybe you might want to use your bank credentials, and you have, you know, more verified data about that individual. So, pretty interesting. Opens up a lot of possibilities in the future where banks can really enable the digital ecosystem to flourish. Because the only way to prove you are who you say you are is by showing your driver's license or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not a good way to do that online.
Yeah, that trust and connectivity is going to become more and more important for lots of transactions, not just financial ones. And that. So it's an important role for you guys and that to do and to be investigating as well. So great. So Ben, what are you doing when you're not venturing? What do you manage to spend your time to relax?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I have two young children, which keep my hands pretty full, so I don't have too much time to relax these days. But when I do have time, love going on long walks throughout the city with my wife. We just love going on these pretty epic walks, exploring your neighborhoods, trying new restaurants, but it's always hard to shut off that venture side of the brain. So I do have a lot of passion for civic improvement and urban planning, thus all the walking. So I'm constantly dreaming up kind of crazy solution using this ventures toolkit that we've built to solve some of society's most crushing issues. So it's maybe that's not as relaxing as other people might think, but when you walk on these long walks, you got a lot of time to think.
No, I know. I know the feeling, and I think that's what I love about this sort of corporate venturing and VC and startup sort of community, where we're all constantly, our minds are constantly spinning and looking for the need and the opportunity in making the world better. So, really appreciate your insights on that, Ben. Thanks very much today.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me on the podcast, and glad I can give back after, it was a little over a year ago that we met, and lots happened since then, so it's great to share some of what we've learned.
Yeah, we'll look forward to keeping in touch. Thank you very much, Ben.
All right. Thanks so much, Andrew.